Good morning. I'm Elizabeth Harrison in Providence. In Exeter, the Board of Canvassers will decide this week on a date for a recall election of 4 out of the town's 5 town councilors. The recall was forced by gun rights advocates who opposed the council's vote to transfer concealed weapons permit applications from the town clerk's office to the attorney general. As Rhode Island Public Radio's Flo Jonick reports, both sides anticipate an old-fashioned grassroots campaign.
Exeter Town Council President Arlene Hicks says she'll fight for her job the way she got it in the first place, by knocking on doors and sending out mailers.
Our message will be that we've been working in the best interest of the town, that at no time did we violate anybody's Second Amendment rights, and that our past record justifies our being kept on the council.
Brian Bishop, a spokesman for the recall group We the People of Exeter, says they have a similar campaign strategy in mind.
The campaign, in a sense, is going to be like the signature gathering campaign, which, when we were out, sometimes someone would have a sign on the side of their car, but it was principally, you know, it was a visiting, it was a person-to-person of kind of campaigning, and I think we intend to maintain that style.
The election will be held the first or second week of December. Flo Jonick, Rhode Island Public Radio.
The long-awaited opening of the Providence Arcade happens today with a ribbon cutting for 11 of the mall's 17 retail stores. The arcade is considered the oldest indoor shopping mall in America. It has undergone a more than $7 million renovation. When finished, it will provide 17 ground-level stores and 48 micro-loft apartments. Governor Lincoln Chafee visits a Jamestown boat builder today who's given the term renewable energy new meaning. Bill Munger, president of Connecticut Marine Services, has powered his boatyard with huge solar panels that cover a pair of south-facing sheds and measure 400 feet long by 30 feet wide.
It seems like a good idea because the space was there. We're hopeful. You know, I think out of the box, we've been functioning here for a couple of weeks, and it's definitely impressive to have all that power going on with no noise and no smoke. It's pretty amazing.
Munger says he'll only use 10% of the power generated. The rest will be sold to National Grid. Cranston Mayor Alan Fung is liquidating his investment in the Woonsocket Company Stericycle as he eyes a Republican run for governor. Stericycle is a medical waste disposal company, and as the Providence Journal reports, it became an issue in the 2012 presidential campaign. A Catholic group accused Republican candidate Mitt Romney of profiting from an investment in Stericycle, which it described as a company that disposes of aborted fetuses. A political consultant for Alan Fung tells the Journal that Fung bought 50 shares in Stericycle in 2010 and 2011 on the advice of his investment advisor. Fung's campaign says he recently told the advisor to sell the stock. And advocates are protesting a plan to close a public pool in South Providence. The Davy Lopes Pool was closed over the summer because of maintenance issues. The city is now going out for bids to cement the pool over and turn it into a water park. But Providence City Councilor Davian Sanchez says contractors have volunteered to do all the repair work if the city only provides the materials. He's urging Providence Mayor Angel Taveras to reconsider his position.
After last December's horrific school massacre in Connecticut, political leaders from the White House to the Rhode Island State House vowed to crack down on gun violence. Governor Lincoln Chafee, Attorney General Peter Kilmartin, House Speaker Gordon Fox, and Senate President Teresa Piva-Weed all advocated measures to advance gun control in our state. At the top of the agenda, banning semi-automatic assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. And State General Treasurer Gina Raimondo said she would purge the state pension portfolio of companies that manufacture and deal firearms. Well, none of that has happened. The General Assembly approved some window dressing legislation that increased prison time for carrying a stolen firearm while committing a violent crime. Lawmakers also voted to make it a crime to possess a gun with an altered serial number. In the end, lawmakers shuttled the tough issues, including whether people with serious mental health problems should be allowed to buy guns, to a study commission that time-honored Smith Hill Bill Graveyard. Remarkably, in Rhode Island, the gun lobby and their allies now seem to be stronger than they were before the Newtown murders. Not only was significant gun control legislation thwarted in the Assembly, Since then, the Tea Party faction of our state's Republican Party raffled off a semi-automatic rifle as a fundraiser. In rural Exeter, a group of gun enthusiasts mounted a recall effort against members of the town council. The council's sin, shifting control of granting gun permits from the town clerk's office to the attorney general's office. Meanwhile, the carnage continues. An insightful yet profoundly sad series in the Providence Journal by Bill Malinowski and Amanda Milkovitz showed the devastating financial and human costs of gun violence on the streets of our state. In Providence, nearly 90 people have been shot so far this year, according to Tenney Gross, director of the Institute for the Practice and Study of Nonviolence. Then in September came the awful news that Aaron Alexis killed 12 people at the Navy Yard in Washington, D.C. Just 5 weeks before his murderous spree, he told Newport police that he was hearing voices in his head, feared people were coming after him, and heard voices coming through the walls of the Newport Naval Station, where he was working as a contractor. Alexis also told the police that some sort of microwave machine was sending vibrations through the ceiling of his hotel room in Newport. Newport police informed naval authorities, but nothing was done to detain Alexis, even though he had a security clearance. It isn't clear under Rhode Island law what could have been done, because our state is one of the very few states that does not submit mental health records to the National Instant Criminal Background Check System. Last week, the State House Gun Safety Commission, created at the end of the assembly session in July, finally met for just a second time. The front page news out of this meeting was that Rhode Island has no mechanism for reporting mental illness to the federal database that is checked for almost all gun sales. Yet, the lawmakers and others on this study commission who have had to be living on Mars to think this was news. Rhode Island Public Radio reporter Kristen Gourlay reported this in early January. Other states responded with stronger measures after Newtown. Lawmakers in New York, Colorado, and Connecticut all approved tougher gun laws. There may be some light at the end of Rhode Island's gun tunnel vision. Raimondo is scheduled to present her plan to divest the pension from gum companies to the State Investment Commission on Wednesday. Raimondo's spokeswoman says the process has been slower than the treasurer would like, but that it is moving forward. The Gun Safety Commission is finally meeting. Sane Republicans, including Cranston Mayor Alan Fung, the party's leading candidate for governor, have denounced the GOP rifle raffle. And the General Assembly gets another chance at approving meaningful gun control when it convenes in January. Yet the shootings and ambulance sirens still shatter the night in the seen better days neighborhoods of our cities. How many more bodies have to pile up in the emergency room at Rhode Island Hospital and at the state morgue before something is done?